أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، ملك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق، ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم، وعلى آله حق قدره وامتداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Iman and Ihsan, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is 14th of Ramadan, 1441 after Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina, which is equivalent to 7th of May 2020. Our lesson, inshallah, will continue on Fiqh al-Sharia with the book of Akhdari fi al-Ibadati an Fiqh Imam Maliki, from where we stopped from our previous classes. In our previous class, we start discussing on ritual bath. In ritual baths, we've stated those things that will necessitate one performing ritual bath. Then we further our explanation to the point of discussing the compulsory steps of ritual bath, which if we will all remember, we said there are four. The first is niyya, and niyatu wal dalku wal gumumu wal fawru. The first is niyya. Niyya is to take intention, because we all know that innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, wal-fawru taking the act consecutively, performing it continuously without any delay, wal-dalku rubbing the whole body, wal-gumumu and covering the whole body with water. That was where we stopped last week. Today inshallah we'll continue. Wasunnanuhu malam is reading, is stating, continuing from where we stopped. From if you are using the same test with me, my test is reading page 10. Wasunnanuhu, the sunnah steps of ritual bath are as follows. Ghaslul yadayni ila al-ku'ayni, washing the hand to the wrists. Kal wudu, it just like ablution. So as you are starting, it is expected you wash your hand to your wrists, so that the hand will be clean, because you will be using that hand to be fetching water, pouring to your body. So it's better to get it clean before contaminating the water. So then, well, madmadatu, then washing the mouth, rinsing the mouth, well, istinshaku, then inhaling water into the nose, well, istintharu, exhaling water into out of the nose. Well, ghaslu simakhul uznaini, and washing the inner hole of the nose. This nose is expected you wash the inner part of it. That is what anatomically is called the concha, which extend to the external acoustic meatus. That's anatomy. Then you wash it. If you don't know what he is saying, he continue explaining. He say wahiya thuqubatu, it is an opening, dakhilatu, which enters firasi, into the head. From here you can it extend to the head, where you will meet the auditory tube. Yeah, it will extend to the head. Wa amma sahfatu, but the skin of the ear. Wa amma sahfatul uzni, but the skin of the ear. Fayajibu ghaslu zahiriha wa batiniha, it is obligatory to wash the inner part of it and the outer part of it. So this skin, the one we call pina, it is expected you wash the outer part of it. The outer part of it is the one that is facing the body, the one that is the medial part, while the lateral part, which opens out outside, is the inner part of it. So both the outer part and the inner part is expected to be washed properly. Wa fadailu, so these are the sunan. I think they are also for washing the hand, inhaling water, exhaling water, washing the skin of the ear. So these are the four also. Then wa fadailuhu, the recommended steps are as follows also. Al-bidayatu bi ghasalin najasati, starting with washing away the impurity from your body. As you want to commence your ablution and your ritual bath, it is expected you wash any place where the impurity touches. As it comes out, as it gush out the sperm, maybe it touches your thigh, maybe it extends to, as you are sleeping, it even touches your stomach. Anywhere it touches, it is expected to be washed first. So that's what he is saying here. Badaitu bi ghasalil najasati. So after that is summa dhakar, then you wash your private parts. After you've washed any place that the najasa touches, is then you wash your private parts very well, including the testis. You wash everything, you understand. Then then you take your intention at that point, as meaning that you should bear in mind that you are doing this washing not just for comfort but as an act of ibadah, and you intend with this wash Allah should clean you away from this najasa, from this impurity. So that is the intention, you just bear in your mind. So ma'ada il wudu'i, after that then you wash the part of ablution, the part of ablution, maratan, once. You wash your mouth once, that he has already told us in the sunnah steps of wudu, ghusl, of the ritual bath. So you wash, it's recommended you wash. Then summa a'la al-ghasli jasadihi, then you wash the superior part of your body. You understand, you start from the uppermost part coming down. That is the best way, it is most recommended you start from the upper part. Someone can wish to start from the toe upward, but you know it will not achieve a complete cleanness, because maybe you've washed the limbs, the lower limb first, that is the leg first coming to your stomach. So probably the depth of your head that you wash later on or at the end will flow down to your toe, you understand. So but when you start from up, it will be washing away the depth coming up till until everything runs down the ground. So that's why it is recommended you start summa a'la al-jasadi, starting from the superior part of your body. Wa tathlisu ghasl ra'si, then you thrice wash the head. You wash your head three times, it's expected. And when we say head here, it is including head and neck. Yes, head and neck. So you wash the whole of your head from the skull down to your neck, ensure that everything, and that is where you consider the sunnah part where he told us that you have to wash the inner part of your ear and also the outer part of it. So everything, all the structures in the head, it is expected you wash them very well, properly. Then wa taqdimu shiqq al-jasadihi al-ayman, then you start by washing the right lateral part of your body. When you divide your body, you see we have a plane which divides, most especially just like the sagittal plane that divides the body into two equal parts. So there is an invisible line that you will see, you will note in your chest, that divides your body into two. So it is expected you start by washing the right lateral parts, the right parts of your body, you understand, before washing the left, because Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is expected to start washing in all his action, he starts with right before left. So also that's how he does while performing the ritual, but he starts by right part before the left part. That's what the point Malam mentioned here. تقديم الشكل جسده الأيمن. Then he said وتقليل الماء على الأعضاء, and minimizing water on the part, on your organs, you should minimize water. Usually, most at times, if scholars say وتقليل الماء, they usually used to back it up by saying بلا حد, without limit. You should minimize water, but without limit. It is not limited to you that it is only a kettle. The limitation of water is only a kettle that is recommended. No, but it depends on the type of skin you are having. There are some people that are having oily skin, so no matter how little water it is, it will be enough for them to wash or cover the body. But some, they're having dry skin. As the water is pouring, if they did not rub, you understand, if they did not rub or the water is not much, you see it as if nothing has touched the skin. So it depends on your skin. There are people with dry skin. So that's why they say قِلَّةُ الْمَاءِ بِلَا حَدٍّ, without a limit. It depends. If a kettle will be enough for me, maybe you, a bucket will be enough for you, there is not. So far you did not waste water, it is not haram. What this point is trying to prevent is waste of water. In the mubazzirina kanu akhwan ash-shayatin, those that are extravagant, they are people of shaitan. So we ask Allah to prevent us from being among those that accompany shaitan. And also Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that you should not waste water, even if you find yourself at the bank of a river. So it is not and also it's reported that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform ritual baths with asai. When we say sa'i, it's just like tear. If we know the tear that we measure our grains, so it's just like that is equivalent to that. So a water full of that tear, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ghusl with it. So also now there are some people that with a kettle is enough for you to perform. So but the main point is to use a water that will be enough for you without wasting. Then he continued, these are the recommended aspects of wudu. Next he said وَمَن نَسِيَ لُمْأَةً, whoever forgets a shima, a particular part unwashed, that is lum'a, no matter how small it is, lum'atan, or udwan, or a complete organ, maybe the whole of the upper limb or the hind, what's it called, the forearm is not washed or something like that, min ghaslihi, from his part of wudu, badara ila ghaslihi, he should return to washing it immediately when he remembers it. So maybe you are washing your leg, then you remember that you've not washed your hand or something like that, you should immediately return back to washing that particular part. Hina tadhakkuri, the time you remember it. Walau ba'da shahrin, even if it is after a month you remember it. Maybe in last month in April you perform a ritual bath. Then today, as you are seated with people, you just remember that yes, in your last, or maybe you are in the month, while Malin is doing tafsir, or while you are listening to this audio, you just remember, yes, something exactly similarly happened to you last month while you are washing. So what is expected immediately at that point, you just stand up and go and wash it, because we already say walfawru fardun, performing the act of wudu continuously without any delay is compulsory. So it is now that you remember it, so go and perform it without any delay. Walau ba'd shay'in wa adama salla qablahu, and he should replace or repeat ma salla qablahu, whatever he has prayed, all the prayers he did before that wash. So before, because the washing, the bath you took, it's not complete. So now you've completed it, so you have to replace all the salah you've taken, you've perform then before this wash. You understand? Qablahu. Wa in akhara ba'ada dhikrihi batala guslihi. If he delays after he has remembered, you delay, you remember that yes, but you continue with your activities without going. You say, no, if I return home, maybe now I'm in the office or now I'm at markets or anywhere, so I will not do it till I return back home. So Malam says, batala guslihi, your ghusl is considered invalid. Your ghusl is even invalid. You have to repeat all the wudu in whole. You have to repeat the bath in whole. You understand? Fa in kana min a'dha'i wudu'ihi, if the part he forgets happens to be among the parts of ablution, wasadafahu ghusl al-wudu'i, so he should wash that while performing his wudu. Ajaza'ahu, it is enough for him. So he should wash that while performing your wudu with niyyah. Then take niyyah that this part is part of what was he called? Part of your ghusl, part of your ritual bath that you forget. Now you are washing it with your intention, and also wash it while performing your ablution is enough for you. Then he said, "Faslun." Here is another subtopic. La yahillu li junubin dukhulil masjid. It is not allowed for someone who is in major, so junub, nam, who is having states of major impurity, dukhulil masjid, to enter masjid. Once before performing your ritual, but it's not expected. It's not allowed for you to enter the masjid. So we should take note. Wa la qira'ati al-Quran, it is not allowed for you to recite the Quran at that moment. Illa al-ayata, except a verse, except a single verse. Wa nahwaha, and the likes, maybe two or three verses, or a complete surah which is small, which he even stated here. He said litta'awuzi, for seeking protection. Like for instance, we often recite ayat al-Kursi. So for that you can recite even while with janaba, like Falak and Nas, we usually recite them to seek protection, and other surah, the Ilafi and all the likes. So for that one to seek protection from Allah, it is allowed for, but just in your state of major impurity, continue reciting the Quran is not allowed. And he has told us last week that we are not allowed to even touch Quran, the one that is in Haida or Janaba, the one that is menstruating, or the one that is in state of major impurity. So we should take note of wanawihi and the likes. Wala yajuzu liman la yaqdiru ala ma'il barid, it is an yatiya zawjatahu, it is not allowed for someone, for a married man who is not capable of touching cold water, and yet he chose Jetahu to meet his wife, to go to his wife to have the sunnah act with his wife, that is having sexual intercourse with her, when he knows that he is not able, he can't touch what is he called, cold water. So it's not expected for him, it's not allowed for him to meet his wife at that condition of his. Hatta yu'idul alata, except he has provide himself with a means. Here ala is a means of heating the water. Maybe you look for a heater or boiling ring, yes, for you to heat your water, or a stove or gas cooker, any means, anything that will help you heat that water. Because while this rule is that it is recommended that immediately after you finish whatever you are doing, you should not stay a minute. You should not stay a minute with that impurity with you. You understand? Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Verily, Allah loves those that seek forgiveness often and those who are in constant purity. So it is not expected to remain in that state of impurity or continue sleeping till daybreak or something like that. Once you are satisfied and you are done with what you are doing, both of you, it's expected to go and take your bath. So also, as we said, for those that are those whose menstruation has terminated, so don't stay long period after then. Immediately you should to perform your ritual bath to be in a pure state. Illa an yahtalima. Now he is saying, except if he dreams. So probably you are not capable of touching cold water and you dream and you've released sperm. So what is expected of you at that moment is to, what is it called, is to perform your ritual bath. And your condition is that you cannot touch cold water. So this one is not something you can control. You understand? Dreaming is not, you are not the one that you will say, today I will dream so kind of dream. So at that kind of this thing, you are not in control of it. But that one that you can go meet your wife or something like that, you have the ability to control it. So you have to improvise with a means of heating the water. But in this kind of falashia alayhi, there is no blame on you if it is dream, because you are not, you don't have what's it called, you don't have control over it. So what is expected, even if it is time for salah, if you cannot still touch water, and then you can perform tayammum, which we will discuss inshallah tomorrow. So you can stay without performing the ritual bath for some time, pending to the time you get the means of washing or heating the water, then wash. So this is where our lesson for today will stop. But before then, I want to describe in whole how we should perform our ritual bath. We haven't learned the compulsory steps with the sunnah step and recommended step. Let's bring them together and come out like it comes in different hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the way he performs a ritual bath. So as it's been described in many so from different texts you can find this. So first, once you've gotten your water, which you are very sure that will be enough for you, you've gone to the toilet, that is your niya. You understand that you've intended, and you are what was it called, action speaks louder than voice. You understand? So your intention is inside, but what's your action is also is verifying your intention. So as you act, so you've gone to the toilet, take off your clothes. The first thing you do, if you want to say the niya or verbalize it, there is no harm. Then you turn your water to wash your if it is a bowl, something that is open, that you have to be using your palm to be pouring water, you first wash your hand to the wrist 3 times. You understand? You wash the hand to the wrist 3 times. You understand? After washing your hand to the wrist 3 times, then you start by washing all the parts, all the places where the impurity touches. You wash everything, then you wash your private parts. It is recommended that you wash from your, that you should wash from your placenta, from the navel to the knee. So you probably, that is where your private part is, and that is all the places expected impurity to touch. These are the places which we expect the what's it called, the impurity to touch. So you start by washing from your placenta to your knee. You understand? You wash it very well, everything, ensure rubbing every particular place, especially the private part down your anus, all those folded skin. This thing should ensure, you should ensure that you've washed everything. You understand? Then after then, you thrice wash your head. Wash your head 3 times, from your head to your neck, from the scalp to your neck. If you are a kind of person that leaves a lot of hair on your head, try and heat the hair head to allow water enter everywhere and rub everywhere. You understand? One can even use a comb to comb his hair so that it can loosen the hair and allow water to get access to the skin, because anywhere the skin did not touch, because anywhere the skin did not touch, the water did not touch, is considered incomplete. So ensure. So also for the, in the case of women, it's not compulsory that they must loosen their hair. You understand? Except if they use something artificial to cover the hair, which will not allow water enter, then they have to lose it, like the rubber they use and other things, the attachment and other things. So, but if not, just try and heat your hair to allow water enter everywhere and wash very well. So after washing the head 3 times, then you perform ablution, a complete ablution, but you wash once. You wash your hand once, you rinse your mouth once, you inhale, you exhale, you wash the face once. If, and while washing the head, as we said, you have to draw your waziko, your beer, ensure that water enter everywhere, draw it, no matter even if it is thick or it is light, the one that we explained during our wudu. So you have to draw everything, ensure that water enters everywhere. And while washing your hand, ensure that the side between the fingers is washed also. So after performing a complete ablution, when you reach your leg, you have option. You can decide to wash your leg at that time. Then as you are completing your bath, you rewash again, or you leave your leg till you start from this period downward, then you wash your leg. So after performing that ablution, then you wash your right part of your body, that is from the chest, like this, as we said, the plane. You wash this side to your placenta. You've already washed that, so you wash this particular part very well. Wash it, including your back. Ensure that your hand reaches everywhere and you rub everywhere. If there is any place that you cannot reach with your hand from your back, it's expected you find a rag, you understand, a small piece of cloth to soak water and use it. Some also recommend that you can use a sponge without using soap. Don't use a soap here. Soap is not allowed. So ensure you wash that particular sponge so that you'll be safe from having any piece of soap. Then soak it in water and use it to wash everywhere, so that rubbing, we've already, this is stated and made compulsory, so that we already know rubbing the whole body is compulsory. And this is gotten from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says that below every hair is janaba. Janaba is in below every hair. You understand? Is below every hair. So you wash that particular part very well. So after washing that right part, then you wash the left part like that, including the back. Then you wash from your knee to your feet, to your palm, the down. Then ensure washing the side, the space between the finger of the leg, the toe. And wash everything, ensure you rub everything and water touches everything. So after, when you do this, then your ritual bath is considered complete. So that's the same thing you do after having sexual intercourse with your partner, or after having janaba, that is after you've dreamed, or after a woman finishes her menstruation, or after delivery and the blood also terminates, and other things, or a kafir who converted to Islam, that is the same thing you observe. So also all other ghusl, all other bath in Islam, the bath for the sunnah bath, that is the one done for Jum'ah prayer, the one for Idaini, the one for entering Makkah, and all other is the same thing. I forgot to mention for Janaba. For Janaba, especially for state of major impurity, after you've washed your private parts, you understand, before pouring water to wash, to thrice wash your head, to wash your head three times, it is expected to dip your hand inside the bowl without fetching any water. Just wet your hand, then you rub your head. Please, I just forgot to say that. So after you've washed your private part, before washing your water, pouring water normal to wash your head three times, it is expected to dip your hand inside a bowl, inside the water, or just wet your hand, the both hand, then use it to rub your head. Why? This is a medicine, because there is health education in fiqh. It looks after your health also. So it is said by scholars that after Janaba, after you've released sperm, usually after that release, there are openings, there are different openings. So usually at the center of your head, there is a large opening there that opens after releasing sperm. It's natural, it happened to everyone. And this is when you've released sperm. So if it's sense any any wet, any damn this thing, you understand, it closes, the opening closes. What makes it open is the release. But when it sense any wetness, it closes. So if you did not do that, by pouring water, probably some water can get access to your brains, can get access to your head. So later on in life, as you are aging, you will be disturbed, you will be coming down with excessive headache. It is practical, and it is tested, and it's been testified. So please, we should take note. That's why they bring this, but it's not compulsory. So when you read through some books, you'll find this explanation. So I just forgot to say it, but once you finish washing the najasa from your private part, washing your private part, when you want to wash your head, don't just pour water by washing. It starts by wetting your hand, then you rub. As you rub, that particular parts will sense the wetness and it will close, because it don't want water. So probably things like meningitis and other things that might affect the brain, you can come down with it later in life as you do that consecutively. So this is where we stop. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll enter a new topic, and I hope this will be self-explanatory, and we ask Allah to make us perform our acts the way He wanted, and may He accept all our acts and forgive all our shortcomings and our ignorance. We ask Allah to accept this, our ibadah of Holy Ramadan, and make us among those He is pleased with and those He has forgiven. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdi, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, نسألك نستغفرك وأتوب إليك. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.